Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who thinks Wall Street could learn a thing or two about how business is done on Main Street.
Well, if the good Lord don't like the way I conduct business, let him say something. Let him give me a sign.
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34, after the hour. Having a great time here with you, and we're gonna have even more fun because we got David Gage back on the show. Dave is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's one of our top business succession experts in Brain Trust. He's one of the top business succession experts on the planet, for that matter. He's the founder of BMC Associates, which is a consulting firm that helps companies like yours and mine do a better job of resolving the exit strategies that we all will have. You know, everybody who starts a business will exit that business one way or the other. That's one. It's just like, you know, death and taxes and gravity. It's going to happen. And he's also an adjunct professor at American University, and he's the author of the book, The Partnership Charter. And he's our good friend, David Gage. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you back. You know, Dave, I was telling the audience before you got here that we're gonna go out of our businesses either with our spurs trailing us or our spurs going first.
And you know that expression, Jim. It's bad for the horse when cowboys die in the saddle.
Exactly. Yeah, all that dead weight, right?
Exactly.
I was talking to somebody the other day about startups, mm-hmm. and they were trying to make it sound like startups, like every startup was a prospect for funding, you know, for getting funding from an investor. And I said, you know what? Almost none of them are. I said, maybe, you know, put a decimal down and several zeros and then stick a number over that. That's how many startups are prospects for that. And I said, and not only are they not prospects for a lot of other reasons, one of them is they have the conflict in the exit strategy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, most small business owners, when they start a business, they expect to run that business as long as they want to.
It's quite amazing to me how many owners of businesses have said, you know, I want to go out right here in my office at my desk. This is what I love, and I want to do it until I die.
Hey, and David, I'm that way.
Mm-hmm.
I drink my own Kool-Aid. I believe that, you know, at some point in time, you know, there needs to be an orderly transition. But right now, I'm having so much fun, I don't want to even think about it.
Right. But it is for people who have a desire to pass their business on to like the next generation because they've really built something they love, and why shouldn't their kids enjoy it too? It's really tricky. I always say that the most quoted statistic in the family business world is 30-13-3. I like to keep it in the three.
Okay.
And that's close enough. Only 30% of businesses make it into the second generation.
Yeah.
Only 13 make it into the third generation. Mm-hmm. And a mere 3% make it down through four generations.
It's wow.
It's tough business. This succession stuff, and nobody's really trained to do it.
And it's a testament to the sheer will of the founder, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because you know, it's not a matter of that the founder's children aren't smart. They're probably smarter than the founder was. It's not a matter of the education. They probably have better educated. It's not a matter of capital because they're probably better capitalized than the founder was. Mm-hmm. But isn't that a testament to the sheer will of the founder? Because I'm telling you, my business should have been closed up a long time ago, mm-hmm. for all the reasons that I just said, except for my will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a wonderful thing about founders. But this whole succession business, it's another game. I mean, you can run your company, and people know how to run their companies, but that doesn't mean they know how to plan the complexity that's involved in changing it over to another generation.
Well, that will thing comes also, that part of that will thing is ego.
Mm-hmm.
And part of ego is not imagining anybody else doing this as well as
right.
we do.
Right.
And also the fact that we want to die in the saddle. And even if we've got children and we want to give it to them, I mean, there's just, you and I have seen it, David. You've seen it more than I have, but I certainly have seen it where they just don't want to turn loose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And at some point in time, that becomes almost abuse for the family, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I have listened to so many children in their 40s and 50s say to me, I can't see the light at the end of this tunnel. They're
right. Where's this living? When's he going to go?
Right.
Hold on to that thought, Dave. We're going to take a quick break. David Gage is our guest. His book is called The Partnership Charter. We're talking about secession. Folks, even if you're a long way away, something to think about. 20 Tales. Stay with us.
I'm alone in the dark.
Little Chicago bringing us back. 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. 17 Till, I should say. I'm glad you're here. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Lots of good stuff there. Don't forget to check it out. And we also have a poll on the homepage that we have every week, a different one every week. And this week is a brand new one. And if you'll go there and answer a couple of questions, actually just one question, and submit your answer, you'll see how the poll's going so far. Immediately, instantaneously, it'll show you how things are stacking up so far. So check that out at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you're on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassing. And by the way, don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get to my website. And don't forget all the other things there at smallbusinessadvocate.com, including all the work that David Gage has deposited with us over the years. He's created a body of work that we have archived for you on. I mean, if you want to know about succession plan, if you want to know about what you should be doing with your business, if you have a partnership or family business or whatever, David and I have talked about it, or he's written about it, and it's right there on our website. And David, we appreciate over the years, we appreciate your steadfast support of all the things that we do.
It's been my pleasure, Jim. It's always exciting.
Well, we're talking about succession planning and going out, folks, in an orderly fashion. Even, you know, and as I said as we went to the break, David, even if you're still a startup, you're still just getting started, you know, think about these things. And, David, isn't it possible to get things organized, get things orderly, and make a plan, and you still get to decide when that plan is executed?
That is a key point. It's starting that conversation early and getting it going early and recognizing that just because you're going to start talking to people, getting their ideas about what they want to do and how this succession might happen, you're still the person in charge and
right.
get to decide.
Mm-hmm.
So I often say that the succession planning business is, for an entrepreneur, is a little bit like flying, where you should never take off in a plane without knowing where you're going to land.
Right.
It's something you should start thinking about very early on, but I think you touched it right on the head that people fear if they start talking about it, they're going to lose control of the conversation.
Right. Right. And the thing is that if you're an egomaniac founder like most of us are, David, you know, you're control is your big issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you have no plan, you're out of control.
Well, there is something about the planning that I think is very fascinating, and the control issue. If your plan includes turning your business over to more than one person, whether it's more than one employee or more than one son or daughter, there's a certain amount of control that you actually, I believe you shouldn't have, and that is you shouldn't have the control to plan how the next generation of owners, employees, kids, or whatever should conduct their partnership.
Right.
You can decide if you're going to give the business to them, if you're going to sell the business to them, yes, no, what are you going to do, sell it to somebody else? You should have that kind of control. But not if some parents believe that they should figure out who's going to be in charge among the siblings, how the ownership structure is going to be. But I always say those decisions are for those kids to figure out. And usually mm-hmm. those kids, we're talking 30, mm-hmm. 40, or 50-year-olds.
Right.
They should be figuring out how they want to be partners together.
Well, exactly. And but you know, if you're an egomaniac control freak founder, folks,
mm-hmm.
then if you're like that, which most are, because that comes now we come back to the will thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, Dave, we got to cut these folks some slack, because if you have that kind of will that you can make your, I mean, if you started a business from scratch, you probably have bootstrapped it. That means that you squeezed a dime out of every nickel you ever made and stretched it, and you didn't get paid a lot of times when everybody else got paid, and you didn't quit because you didn't know you weren't supposed to quit, mm-hmm. and et cetera, et cetera. That's the sheer will thing. You don't get all of that. And then this milquetoast person who says, "Oh yes, I'm ready to go whenever you want me to go." You don't get that. That doesn't come together.
Right.
And so if you're that kind of a person, though, produce the documents, develop the plan, engage some experts to help you, and then set it out there. But you've got the key. You own the combination.
Mm-hmm.
You can structure this, right, David? So you can structure it so that you get to decide when the triggers are pulled.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that so instead of feeling like you're losing control by developing an exit strategy or a succession plan, I think we need to not just say a succession plan, David, because that might mm-hmm. not even be something you can imagine right now. You don't know who you're going to give it to mm-hmm. in some cases,
right.
or who you're going to sell it to. So just an exit strategy, develop the plan so you pull the triggers.
Right. Right. And make that known from the get-go.
Yeah. And you can structure it through we talk about documents, we're talking about a will, we're talking about insurance that can cover, you know, whatever happens when you go out. That's one of the things I did. I mean, I have to admit, I don't have an elaborate plan, but I have enough insurance that if something happens to me, the people can continue to run my business without worrying about anything.
Well, it's a great point that one of the things you can't control is the timing.
Yeah.
And the events that may occur that affect whether you stay in the saddle or not.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. David, give us the website. Tell us how we can find your book.
You can actually even download the first couple chapters of the book, which is all about having partners, at the website, which is bmcassociates.com.
bmcassociates.com. Bravo Mike Charlie Associates.com. Check it out, folks. Quick break. The book is called The Partnership Charter, by the way. David Gage is our guest. He and I will be right back. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me, having a great visit with our good friend David Gage. He's the author of The Partnership Charter, and that's bmcassociates.com, right, David?
It is.
Check it out, and use David and abuse him, as I always say, on his website there, and check out his book. You know, your book, the good thing about your book is folks, if you've got, if you're an heir apparent, you know, that this might be a good book to buy someone. It would be a good book to buy the person who controls those triggers that we've been talking about that won't seem to make a plan, won't come up with anything. This might be a good book. Maybe I guess you couldn't give it to them anonymously, could you, dear? They'd know who it was coming from, right? These are not dummies. They'd probably be on to you, would it be a good book to go through it as a team?
It's really fascinating that you say that, because as we were on the break, I was thinking that a moment ago I was talking about the partners in the next generation of owners, but really it is a partnership between the person who owns the business and the next generation as well, because you've been talking about how the owner, founder, entrepreneur doesn't want to get out of a job too soon and let
right.
go of the reins. Well, you can work with your successor or successors and figure out what can you keep doing in the business? Carve out a spot for yourself to stay busy and alive, but let people come into the next generation of owners and work together with them. So in a way, be partners with them.
And as long and hey, you still own the company. It's not like they go, they're going to take it away from you.
Right, right.
Right? So why not have the conversation? You might learn something.
Exactly. And the book does have a wonderful chapter, which a lot of people say they really was helpful, on expectations and really clarifying expectations.
Talk to us about that.
Well, people used to say, before I wrote this book, people would say, well, my partner and I used to get along, but then he just didn't live up to my expectations. And, and I would often say, well, did you tell your partner your expectations? And they would say, I never thought of that.
I thought they were mind readers.
So it's just a great and simple exercise people can do where they separately sit down and list, what are my real expectations for my partner and what are my expectations for myself here? And both of them do it. And then they sit down and talk about that.
Right. And of course, ideally, if we're talking partners here, ideally, you know, you've done that early on because otherwise, you just if things work out, it's just dumb luck. because you know, that's a conversation you should have before you start a business with a partner. Is what are each other's expectations?
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that also a conversation you should have with a child? Or with a partner, a younger partner who may take over the business one day?
Absolutely, but I think you'd be shocked at how few people actually have that conversation to any level of depth.
Huh. Well, why do you think that is?
I think it's like fish swimming in water. They just don't know they're swimming in water. We swim in our expectations every day. We just have them, and a lot of them are fairly unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes that sitting down and saying, what really are my expectations?
Do you think maybe we almost, it's a way of controlling people if we never tell them what we expect of them? Subconsciously, we're allowing them to walk around with tripwires everywhere?
That's a great point. It may well be.
I mean, you know, the ego is a funny thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's the ego can really be. The ego has a conscious and a subconscious, doesn't it?
That is so true. And I was working with a family business yesterday, and at one point they said, "This is so embarrassing. What we're spending so much time on." And I said, "You know what, guys? It's always in businesses with co-owners. It's always embarrassing. They always have something embarrassing that really gets to them."
Well, you haven't gotten to the issues that must be solved unless you have those feelings, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that one of the ways to tell if you're getting to the good stuff?
That is so true.
I mean, seriously, folks. I mean,
right.
if you're gonna make this happen, you've got to get to the uncomfortable stuff.
Right.
And deal with it.
And often it's quite petty.
Yeah.
That's why people's lists of expectations should be fairly long.
Well, my expectations are not petty, but yours are, David.
What's that?
My expectations are not petty, but yours are.
Give us that
website one more time, David.
BMCAssociates.com.
And the book is called The Partnership Charter. Buy one and use it as a workbook. Hey, David, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Always great talking
to you. We'll see you next time. David Gage, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I will be too. After these messages, I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.